Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Bible we read that near the place where Jesus was crucified and where others were crucified as well, there was a garden. In that garden there was a tomb, at least one tomb, the one in which Jesus was buried, which was newly cut out of rock. Jesus was the first occupant of that tomb. There may well have been other tombs also in that garden. We don't know what was grown in the garden, whether it was flowers or vegetables or fruit trees. We do know that on the other side of Jerusalem, from where Jesus was crucified, there was another garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, which today, at least, is full of olive trees. So perhaps that was the contents of the garden that contained Jesus' tomb from which he rose on Easter Sunday. Whatever it was that was growing in the garden, think about what a striking contrast that is. A place of death, burial, and decay, though of course not decay for Jesus because he rose from the grave, but a place where other bodies were buried to rot and decay, was also a place where living plants were growing and most likely were harvested for food. What a striking contrast. And we see in the parable that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 13 today, the parable of the wheat and the weeds, another striking contrast as noxious weeds grow among the good wheat that God planted in his field. Jesus explains for us many of the details of this parable of the wheat and the weeds. He tells us that the wheat are the sons of the kingdom, believers in Jesus as Savior. But then an enemy, the devil, comes and sows plants unbelief throughout God's world. And those sons of the evil one are people who have total disregard for God and his word. Perhaps even people who sometimes come to church not to worship and to hear God's word, but for some other reason, perhaps to make someone else happy. As we think about this parable, even though by God's grace we are counted among the wheat, as those who truly believe in Jesus as our Savior, yet there is always, God warns us, the danger of transformation from wheat to weeds if we give ourselves over to temptation and sin and fall away from faith in Jesus as our Savior. And so as we discuss the weeds today, let's think about the aspects in our own hearts and lives where we need to come to God in repentance, looking to him alone for forgiveness and salvation, so that we may remain among the wheat that is brought into his barn on the last day. Do we ever see ourselves, in ourselves, this characteristic of the weeds? That when God speaks to us through his law and condemnation, do we also join in condemning, not primarily condemning ourselves for our own sinful thoughts, words, and actions, but instead condemning others for theirs? She is self-centered, not me. He is conceited, not I. She is overbearing. He is greedy, envious, lying, slandering, dishonest, hateful. Yes, we sometimes use the Ten Commandments of God to denounce others instead of using them to examine our own hearts and lives in order to lead us to repentance for our own sins. Yes, we say, Lord, have mercy, but perhaps we rarely really feel the need to make an actual repentant plea to God for his mercy. Perhaps we seldom feel the Ten Commandments as a hammer that pounds us down into the dust of repentance. but rather view God's commandments as a ladder which leads up to heaven, and we feel that we have already climbed pretty high by our own good works. That is the attitude of the weeds. Another characteristic of the weeds is that when God comes with a gospel of forgiveness through Jesus to pick people up out of their guilt complexes, they may doubt the power of the gospel to truly take away the guilt of their sins. If Jesus died on the cross to redeem sinners, they don't believe themselves to be among those sinners whom Jesus died to redeem. Yes, Jesus could pardon Paul, that chief of sinners, that murderer and persecutor of the followers of Jesus, but not them. Yes, Jesus could forgive Peter, who three times in Jesus' greatest hour of need denied that he even knew Jesus. But Jesus can't forgive them. Do we ever think in that way? Feeling that we are irredeemable because of the sins that we have committed. Do you ever sing of God's love, but not truly claim it for yourself? Or perhaps do we sometimes use the message of God's forgiveness through Jesus as a license, as an excuse, or a get-out-of-jail-free card, permitting ourselves to keep on sinning intentionally, willfully, because we think that God will just forgive us anyway, and we go and repent to him after we have committed the sin that we were planning for a long time to commit? Well, if we embrace these attitudes and let them govern and rule in our hearts and lives, then we truly are weeds, even though we may think that we are wheat. Well, what are we to do about the weeds and the wheat field that is this world? Jesus tells us in the parable that we are not to get a bulldozer to scoop away the whole field, because if we do so, then we'd be getting rid of not only the noxious weeds, but also the good wheat as well. What about then going through the field trying to pick out the weeds one by one? Even that, Jesus says, is dangerous, because this particular type of wheat can easily be confused for wheat before it is fully grown. So if we would try to pull out the weeds, we might end up pulling out some of the wheat as well by accident. And as we just discussed, even though we, by God's grace, are among the wheat as believers in Jesus our Savior, sometimes in our thoughts, words, or actions, we may temporarily resemble weeds more than wheat, so we ourselves could easily be pulled up and destroyed in such hasty judgment. And so Jesus says, go easy with the axe. You may be trying to cut down briars, but you may end up cutting down a fruit tree by accident. In the name of religion, Satan has sometimes used well-meaning Christians to cut down some healthy trees. And trying to pull up the weeds, we may sometimes also root out the wheat. We must never forget that there is wheat in the field. Yes, there are weeds, but there is also wheat by God's grace. Jesus tells us that the Son of Man, Jesus himself, sows good seed in the world. His life-giving gospel is what causes the seeds to sprout and to grow. Jesus took our sins upon himself and paid on the cross in full the price that our sins deserve, the punishment that we deserve to suffer for our sins. Jesus took it upon himself with his innocent suffering and death. And he transfers to us his own perfect righteousness. So even though we may not be a perfect plant with perfect grain by ourselves and our own works, yet God in his grace sees us as perfect because of Jesus our Savior. Jesus himself produces in us the healthy grain of a mature stalk of wheat, lips that proclaim his redeeming love, hands that serve the needy as we would serve him, feet that run on God's errands, ears that hear and respond to the sufferer's cries, hearts that pity widows and orphans, knees that kneel beside those who have tripped and stumbled, arms that hold in their embrace those whom others refuse to embrace. All this God produces in us as a response to his amazing love and forgiveness for us through his Son, Jesus, our Savior. In spite of all the weeds in the field of this world, God gets his wheat planted and growing through the good news of Jesus the Savior. Through his word and sacrament, God's Holy Spirit keeps us sprouting, growing, maturing, and bearing good fruit in the world. In spite of the weeds, the world is still filled with the goodness of God. And as Jesus reminds us, we dare not forget that God's angels still wait for his harvest day. They are sharpening their sickles and getting ready for their wagons to be loaded up with grain to be brought into God's barn, and also to bundle up the weeds to be thrown into the fire. The prospect of that last judgment may be a terrifying one, especially as we think about the horrible fate that awaits the weeds on that last day, eternal suffering and the fires of hell. But God assures us that Jesus himself intercedes on our behalf. God assures us that his Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. He prays for us when we don't even know what we should pray for. He himself intercedes for us before God's throne of judgment. By his grace, working through his word and sacrament, he will keep us strong in faith in Jesus as our Savior until that last day, so that we will be among the wheat that is gathered into his barn, among the believers who are taken to heaven. What a marvelous rescue. No more tears. No more tragedies. No more sinning. No more suffering. No more doubting. No more dying. Only peace perpetual, bliss celestial, joy supernal, life eternal. The angelic anthems, the exciting reunions, the beatific vision of the face of God himself, the adoration of the Lamb on the throne, the crystal sea, paradise. Jesus tells us, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. All by God's grace, through Jesus our Savior. Amen.